Hey, everybody, this is Dominique. If you're ready to do more with your life and with your money, I want you to stay tuned because I am going to be talking about today that your plan doesn't have to be perfect. Your financial plan does not have to be perfect, but it does need to answer these questions. So stay tuned.
Are you tired of feeling like there's more to life that you're just not experiencing? Are you unmotivated by keeping up with the status quo? Are you ready to start living intentionally with your finances and creating the life you want? Get ready for Experiencing Financial Contentment with Dominique Henderson, a podcast focused on helping you create margin for the life you want to live by putting your money where your heart is. Each week, Dominique will help you explore the decisions you make around money so that you can achieve better results. Now, here's your host, Dominique Henderson.
What's going on out there, guys? This is Dominique, owner and founder of DJH Capital Management, where we're helping our clients to achieve their ideal financial outcome. And this podcast, Experiencing Financial Contentment with yours truly, is all about helping you do more with your money. That's the mission. And so if you're tired of doing more or having less, if you're tired of the rat race, you feel like you're on the treadmill going nowhere, and if you're ready to take that pill, that red pill, to leave the matrix of the average, this is the podcast for you. So be in the live chat today. Make sure you like and share the podcast. Make sure you give us some love while you're up in there. I would appreciate it very much. Today, I think, is a very interesting subject because a lot of people I'm hearing talk about, you know, yeah, I'll kind of delay putting a plan together because I'm not really ready, or my income's not right, or any number of reasons. Not that they're not valid reasons, but I'm going to kind of walk you through some stuff because at the end of the day, your plan doesn't have to be perfect. You just need to answer a few questions. And just like you're flying from, you know, wherever to wherever, maybe you're flying from New York to L.A., you're going to have some course corrections along the way. There may be weather. There may be traffic at the airport where, you know, other planes are landing or they got delayed. All different kinds of things keep you from hitting your destination when you want to based on delays. And that's perfectly normal. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Your financial plan will be no different. So it doesn't have to be perfect. I think there's some key questions, and I've tried to distill this down to the essence of what we're trying to get at here and give you the most valuable information. So I just want you to know, make your financial plan flexible. And as they used to say at church, you know, come as you are. you don't have to be cleaned up before you come to church. That's kind of the point, is get the help that you need. Churches are like hospitals, but that's neither here nor there for this discussion. Let's get right into it. There are four areas I like to talk about, and I've already given one away in my introduction with this question up here. So that's one of my video faux pas for today. Not perfect. There's four areas of your financial plan that I think you need to concentrate on. It would be cash flow management, investment positioning, tax planning, and then estate protection or estate planning. Asset protection, estate protection, those are all the same synonymous terms there. But you need to, in this, you know, we have a overload of information out there. You can Google or YouTube just about anything. Now, I do not advise trying to Google or YouTube your financial plan. You may make a very costly mistake there. But the point is you have a lot of information out there. And the premium is really on how does this information integrate into something that makes sense for you, right? So I want to give you what I feel are four questions that you need to ask in each one of these categories, okay? So one question per category. Obviously, we can get way more granular than that, but that would be outside the scope of this podcast. So let's talk about cash flow management. Cash is king, right? How long could you survive if steady income was to stop? That's the main question to ask around your cash flow. If you want to run your life more like a business, like a Fortune 500 company, you're going to have to concentrate on cash flow. They have cash flow. They have really three statements in financial advisor parlance. You got your income statement, your balance sheet, and then your statement of cash flows. And those three components interweave to show you how the business is doing. Now, you don't have to get that granular with your particular situation, but since cash is the linchpin that holds your whole financial system together, you really need to answer the question of how long could you survive and maintain your lifestyle if steady income was to stop for whatever reason, you got disabled, you died, you got fired, whatever. I think at a bare minimum, you need to be between the 3 to 6 months at a minimum, 3 to 6 months of income, of living expenses, not income, I'm sorry, of living expenses in a account. And I've talked about this before, but an account that does not earn anything, that you can readily get to, that you don't have to worry about principal being lost. Now, again, some people are going to get really, tit for tat on me with, well, it needs to at least be earning the rate of inflation. Otherwise, I'm losing my purchasing power. Yeah, over a 30-year time period, but we're not really talking about emergencies. Typically happen sooner than 30 years. That's the whole point of them in an emergency. When we're talking about when in the year you end up having to replace a refrigerator or replace an air condition or put 4 sets of tires on your car, inflation's really not going to be that big a deal inside of 6 or 9 or 12 months. So for all of my detractors there, that would be my answer. Let's talk about what's next. Next question would be, how would this is always interesting. So let's try this one more time. Okay, there we go. How well are you utilizing your tax deferred or tax free investment vehicles? And so I got to spend a little time here because you're going, ooh, that's real jargony, Dominique. Yep, and I'm gonna help you out here. So a tax deferred vehicle just means that the taxes are deferred until a later date. For instance, a company 401k plan. You put money in there. So let's just walk this all the way through. You get a paycheck. That's your gross paycheck. You don't see that number at the top, unfortunately, because of Uncle Sam and other things. But what you could do is you can make a salary deferral, is what it's called, of a certain amount, up to $18,000 per year in your 401k. And that money comes out before Uncle Sam taxes you. And so effectively, it reduces your taxes that you will pay, and a little bit more on that later. But that's a tax-deferred vehicle. You don't have to take that money out until 70 and a half, which means you don't have to be taxed on it to 70 and a half, which means that the entire time that you're contributing to the plan, all the growth is tax-deferred. And so you can pile up a pretty big, pile of money doing it this way. I've seen it done millions of times, and you may hem and haw about, well, it's only equities in there. I don't have a lot of choices, or the plan's too expensive, or I don't really like the stock market. I think it's about to crash. The point is, if just think about this in scope, in perspective. If you're participating in a 401k, even if you change employers, if you participate over your working lifetime, which is going to be, your 80,000 hours or, 30, 40 years in the workforce, trying to put away 18 grand or whatever the cap is every year, plus growth, you're going to come away with a nice chunk of change. So just utilize the vehicle. You get a lot of bang for your buck in the fact that it not only grows tax deferred, but it also decreases your current year tax liability, because the money that you put in the 401k is not taxed by the government until you take it out, like I said before. So a tax-free vehicle may be something like a Roth IRA or a Roth 401k, where you're putting in after-tax contributions. So your gross income, taxes come out, and then what's left of your net, you put some of your net into that, and then that grows tax-free. And then some people won't qualify for a Roth IRA, but you can use your Roth 401k and things like that. So that's I don't want to get too in the weeds in there, but the point is that's a tax-free vehicle. Also, health savings accounts like HSAs are tax-free vehicles. They're actually pretty good. I'll talk about that in just a minute. Those are ways that you can position your investments to really reap some benefits. So, how well are you utilizing those tax-deferred or tax-free vehicles? If you're not maxing out your 401k, regardless of if there's a match, then you should be. Because, again, that is income that you're not taxed on. Okay, let's go to the next one. Are you paying more than your fair share? So tax planning is one of the probably more overlooked parts of a financial plan. As a certified financial planner, I do dabble in taxes and tax planning. I don't actually prepare tax returns, but I can get you close enough to get you an estimate on what you're going to be paying or receiving in a refund. And the point is when you go through that exercise, you end up finding out that people don't tax plan all that well. And so, things like withholding too much. So let me kind of explain how your withholding works if you don't know. You fill out that form, that W-4, and typically speaking, most people just fill out the front page. And it's really easy. You add up all the numbers and you have how many of your exemptions. Your employer withholds that, sends it to the IRS. And then at the end of the year, you kind of true up, or at, you know, March or April of the following year, you kind of true up and you've withheld $10,000, but your tax liability ends up being $8,000. So you get a, you know, $2,000 refund. So $2,000 refund, couldn't you be using that during the year to make sure that your plan is on course? I mean, that could be extra money going into your 401k, growing tax deferred, rather than, you know, getting a you know, four-figure or five-figure refund that you don't remember what you did with it, you know, 3 or 4 months later. It's just not a very efficient use of money. And so the government's not paying you any interest on that loan that you give them either. So that's another point. I mean, paying more than your fair share will, you know, it's kind of one of those deals where you're kind of just spinning your wheels. And if you want to be efficient and move towards your goals and maybe even shave off a few years before you have to retire, you got to tax plan correctly. So whether you're working with a professional tax person like a CPA or an EA or somebody like that, or even like somebody like myself, like a CFP, like I have plenty of those people in my network to help you be more efficient and effective with your tax planning. So make sure your refund's not too big. I mean, ideally, you're writing a very small check to the government, or writing a zero check, or having zero liability, rather. That's what's ideal, because, again, you're not getting any return on that money that the government holds and then sends to you in April or March or whatever. All right, so that's question number three. And last but not least, am I looking at risk properly? So this is another overlooked part, because people tend to do the, you know, maybe get the company insurance, get have the company disability, and they think they're good. But the real question is if you want to say, am I looking at risk appropriately in context of my financial plan, you really need to, you know, probably look at two areas. And that is, what risk do I transfer? And then what risk do I retain? Right. So let me give you an example of those two. So transferring risk means, and I think I covered this maybe a couple of weeks ago, but transferring risk just means, like, for instance, if I died right now, you know, it's likely that my family would live much longer, and they're economically dependent upon me. So I need to have an insurance company that I could transfer the risk of me dying to. Pay them a premium in exchange for that. If something does happen, they're going to pay my heirs and my wife and my family an amount of money to live off of until they get, you know, okay. So that's an example of transfer risk. And we transfer a lot of risk. I mean, whenever you're paying a premium to an insurance company, you're essentially transferring risk. And a little bit more on that in just a second. Now, when you retain the risk, that means that you do not pay anybody. You do not pay an insurance company in order to carry that risk for you. You know, and some people choose to do things like this. So you may retain the risk when it comes to like a personal liability policy. Like if you don't have a net worth over $1 million, it probably doesn't make sense to have a personal liability policy. If somebody gets injured on your property and your home insurance doesn't cover it, you just retain that risk. It may or may not happen. Another example would be, a lot of people don't have gap insurance on their cars, or they don't have insurance to, you know, for door scratches and door dings, because it just makes more sense to retain that risk rather than transfer it and pay a premium for it. So, you know, in transferring risk, though, you can still save some money, right? So one thing I see going through different financial plans is I see auto premiums that are particularly high, especially when you have multiple cars or whatnot. And if you build up a rainy day fund, this is how your cash flow management interweaves together with your estate planning, and it forms this nice mosaic of a financial plan. If you build up enough of cash flow in an emergency fund, and you have your 6 to 9 or 12 months or something like that, then you can not have a $500 deductible or a $250 deductible on your insurance for your auto. You can have something like maybe a $2,000 deductible, because you can write a check for that. And it significantly reduces your premiums. And that extra $100 or $200 or $75 a month can be back in your pocket. So the things like that that you probably have to have have to have looked at so that you're making the right decision. So the four questions, hopefully that's been helpful. We got some offers for you today, like we always do. We'll always try to do this. So the first thing is the four pit stops to your financial success. This was a white paper guide that kind of goes a little bit more into detail. If you want more detail around what I'm talking about now, this is what you need to get. So djhendersonsr.com/4pitstops. You can pick that up. And we kind of walk you through some things about in each of these categories, cash flow management, investment positioning, tax planning, and estate protection. And that would be how that works. I think, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to want probably a professional's opinion on that just because it might be a little hard to, you know, put some of this stuff together. And by all means, I'll have the number and, you know, in the show notes and stuff like that. You can always reach out however you want. And the next thing would be the Facebook group. So experiencing financial contentment, forming a community of individuals of like mind that want to be intentional about their financial decisions. Sometimes you need support during that because your group of friends may change, different things happen in life. So all the more to have a group of individuals rallying around you for accountability and for support. I'm always in the group giving tidbits of nuggets of wisdom, you know, addendums to the podcast, all kinds of stuff. If you join the group, you're going to get to see what we got coming down the pipe for 2018. We got some e-course content. So a lot of this stuff I'm going to be distilling and letting it brew and stew in my head into a course that will be available in 2018. So that we got a lot of stuff going on. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're just definitely trying to help you guys do more with your money. And so 214-699-7599, if you want to have a chat about your situation, 15-20-minute strategy call just to see where you're going, get a second opinion, make sure things look how you want them to look instead of guessing about it. Because guessing, I don't know how long you want to rely on luck or, you know, God forbid, you know, you implement some bad advice or a bad decision and it costs you. So that's what we're here for. Obviously, you can always set an appointment if you go to the website, djh-capital.com. You can send us a message there. We'll get right back to you. But thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.